And welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as always, is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service, always actively involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of rare coins, precious metals. That means gold and silver in any form, scrap gold, jewelry, diamond, et cetera, and so on. Been in business a couple decades plus. We've done everything in our power to establish a very solid reputation. Honesty, integrity, and professionalism is our motto. Coins Plus is the name you can trust. In this industry, folks, you need to know that. You need to understand that. You need to realize the importance of that. There's industries that have their own personalities. Ours is one of those. And we have established who we are. We've grown and grown, and we've got one of the nicest facilities in the U.S. Not to be boisterous or pompous, but because we needed it, and I like to build nice things, and we built the building. We've been in the building now about 12 or 13 years. Before that, we shared space with a large jewelry store, which was also a very good education in a number of different areas. And so we've been around quite a while. We've got the highest rated depository service in the Western region. So for some of those out there that have been trying to get a 3x5 box, which may not make sense to any of you, but to a lot of you, it's the smaller box. It's the most desirable box. 3 inches by 5 inches by 2 feet deep. They're $60 a year. We just found 8 of them. We were doing an audit and a cleanup. Apparently, we had an employee at one time that was just throwing the keys when people closed them in a bag. So if you've been looking for a small box, we've got more available. We were out. And that is just something to carry or to keep well in mind because the demand for those is huge and they will go fast. Our boxes, without getting into much detail, extremely secure, highest rated, privately held facility in the Western U.S. Building built from the ground up, Class 2 vault, wrapped in 1-inch thick T12 resistant plate steel. The building is absolutely saturated with, you know, walls that are multiply feet thick of special tool destroying steel or concrete and steel, and then wrapped in more steel, and it's very extensive. So your goods are very secure here, and much more secure in a way than a bank. Banks have had a lot of issues with things disappearing, like really bad, and they don't stand behind them. So that's available to you as you invest. Bunch of stuff I've got notes here on. I'm going to cover a couple topics today. One of them is the fact that, you know, we've got this great economy, right? The biggest problem is there's so many people we talk to. I don't care who it is. Machine shops, jewelers, mercantiles, everybody, they're not feeling it. You know, maybe Walmart is, maybe Amazon is. Amazon's got 50% of the online business. I mean, and we all shop there, and it's sad and it's pathetic. Local mom and pops have, you know, they're dying off. People even try to buy precious metals over the internet. That's not very bright. There has been so many bankruptcies, folks, from these companies that don't operate properly. We've been doing this a long time. We're very well capitalized. But what's even more important is when you pay, you are secured. Now, if it's in stock, you get it. If it's not, it's days. And it's instantly yours. There's no games. There's no floats. Some of you guys might remember Kevin Mitchell out at Coin Nuts in Coeur d'Alene that took people down for millions of dollars, did prison time, but bad checks all over. That really caused us a lot of havoc. My name is Kevin. His name was Kevin. I'm Coins Plus. He intentionally made his name Coin Nuts to confuse people. Right out of the box, he was copying my ads, except for the name. And I'm telling you, people were confused. He told people we were affiliated and associated. We were in no way. I went to some major trade shows where people would, you know, let's just say not accept me warmly because they thought I was him. He took people down. Northwest Territorial Mint. I discussed them many, many times. Let me look here. At the very least, I know that they went bankrupt for at least $38 million. Let me see what the actual number was. And what's really sad is the guy ran off with a lot of cash. I had his manager working for me for a while, but he couldn't do things the right way. They would sell metal and not deliver, and it was a Ponzi scheme. You just kept bringing money in, and they couldn't deliver the metal, and people would get their metal years late after they threw, you know, huge fits. And it was bad. He had hundreds and hundreds of lawsuits from the state attorney general. Okay, here we go. $75 million bankruptcy, okay? He was the number one guy you'd hit on the internet, and he looked good. And a lot of people bought from him because he'd put prices a little bit too low, screwed up the market, caused a bunch of havoc with other dealers, you know, because it wasn't true. He was just looking to borrow money. And so be very careful. Tolving, huge, probably one of the biggest gold dealers in the history of the United States. You went down for, well, no, he wasn't the biggest. The biggest was National Gold. But anyway, he went down for about $70 million. National Gold was out of Florida. I mean, they were huge. They were global. $200 million bankruptcy. Now, that might blow your mind, but you got to realize, you know, when you're dealing in gold, the money's flying. And, you know, he was building $50 million houses and on other people's money and stuff. So long story short, you keep that money home, local. Deal local with someone you know. You can look them in the eye. You know what you're going to get. We've got a stellar, you know, reputation we've earned over the years. We've worked for it. We don't have, you know, excess waste and spending, and we're well capitalized, and we try to operate in with complete and total biblical integrity. So, you know, if you're purchasing, selling, and by the way, right now, I say it over and over, but listen to me. Here's an article from, Bankrate.com. Or I'm sorry, this one's Yahoo Finance. 40% of Americans say the recession has already begun. This is June 26, 2019. It says, all things considered, the U.S. economy appears to be doing well. Unemployment is at a 50-year low, and the GDP's 2.9 growth in 2018 was its best annual performance since the last recession. But the strong economy isn't enough for some, at least 40% of Americans who believe the next recession is already here. Another 77% believe it's coming, or 77% believe it's either here or coming in the next 12 months. Yahoo Finance's Sabil, whoever, and a bunch of names, I don't know, it doesn't matter, discuss this latest study from Bankrate on Americans' financial preparedness in the event of a recession. And then they go on and they discuss the fact that you are not prepared. How do you prepare? Folks, absolutely simplistically, it's a twofold approach. One, you need to secure a significant portion of your finances in precious metals-based assets, gold, silver, etc. We'll build your portfolio, no big deal. We do it all the time. But number two, when a recession hits, the problem that we're facing right now is hyperinflation, just drastic creation of money. We've got repatriation where we're bringing money back into the country at only a 10% tax rate. you know, that's fair. It makes sense. They made the money overseas. They didn't pay tax. Trump wants it back, so he's giving them a break, making them only pay 10%. Kind of makes you wish you made your money overseas, but I didn't. So that kind of money, when you just, you know, the definition of inflation is an increase in the money supply. The consequences or results of that is an increase in the prices of goods and services. People think inflation means that the price of goods goes up. No, that is the symptom of inflation. So please understand the hyperinflation, the massive quantities of currency we've produced and continue to produce, has one consequence, and that is a reduction in the spending power of the dollar. Economics, I spoke recently of equilibrium versus Bayesian economics. Equilibrium-based theorem is what the Fed uses. When things are going crazy one way, they want to tweak rates and make it go the other way. Bayesian theory is very mathematical. It's an amazing, you know, when I studied statistics in college and got my bachelor of science and was in actuarial science, it's amazing what you can do mathematically, even based on rumors and people's, you know, you do surveys and find out people's feelings, emotions, tendencies. You can do incredible mathematics. Bayesian theory looks at reality and, believe it or not, pushes it into probability statistics and comes up with outcomes. And the Bayesian theory on this is that we are ready to blow. It's a no-brainer. It's a fact, okay? The numbers are too high. If you think that what goes up stays up and never comes down, you're not right, okay? Now, you could argue, well, you know, in the Weimar Republic, technically everything went up and up and up. Yeah, mm-hmm. And they went, and that was where they had the complete obsolescence of all currency. All currency absolutely, totally, and completely dissolved to the point where people had to be paid four times a day because inflation was so bad. Now, right now, we've drugged the whole world into our system. We began the agreement in 1946 under the Bretton Woods Act after we helped everybody win World War II. We forced them to say, yes, we will recognize the dollar as the global currency for the oil bourse. The oil bourse, in other words, trading and buying and selling of oil, is the largest economic influence in America, in the world. It's a huge deal. Whenever someone tries to deviate, you know, all these small players, Saddam Hussein, from Iraq, Hosni Mubarak from Egypt, even Gaddafi from Libya, who we had agreements with, Syria, everybody. Well, Syria's, you know, got enough brains, they're kind of watching their stuff, but, you know, we take them out. And then you look at, like, Saudi Arabia, you know, they produce the oil, they're all in, they don't care how they get paid, and things are good. Chinese buyers, you know, article here, Chinese buyers are pulling out of New York real estate in droves, okay? Yeah, you got to think about what is that saying? It says China's capital controls are making capital money, meaning controls are making their mark on New York's luxury real estate market in an effort to shore up its currency. The world's second biggest economy has been cracking down on money, leaving the country. There are significant concerns about the U.S. dollar's future and the future of the U.S. economy, this article says. And then it says paywall, whatever that is, about its real estate developers' levels of dollar debt, etc. Having briefly been the main movers and shakers in New York real estate, now realize that New York real estate has been driven by the Chinese. Chinese developers have fallen behind the Canadians and Germans and the Dutch and are pulling out in an accelerated fashion. That's the second largest economy in the world. They're pulling out of New York. Now, that may have something to do with why Trump hates them. I don't know. He's a big real estate guru, right? Maybe China threatens him. We don't know. But you know, he understands China pretty well. They've got, you know, technical Kramer's Mad Money. You've probably seen that show. He said Jim Cramer told his viewers Wednesday, let me get into this here, that basically the to expect that he's becoming very pessimistic on the stock market. And it says Cramer told his Mad Money viewers Wednesday, dedicated all of Wednesday's episode to the art and science of technical analysis, picking the best charts, his weekly off-the-charts segment, and analyzing even closer. And he says charts like this are the footprints at the scene of the crime, clues to the big collapse that likely lies ahead. How much more do you need to hear? Okay? I'm just telling you right now, folks. Oh, boy, here's more. You know, on we go. Hedge funds have never been, you know, this bad, and on it goes. So I tell you, don't buy the lies. Watch who's writing the articles. You know, there's always going to be companies that are successful. That's great. The big companies, electronics, technology, service providers, Walmarts, Amazons, those are the people that might be the reason. You got to remember, though, are these people providing high-income jobs? No. Everybody gets excited. Amazon's coming to Spokane. Yippee, yippee, yippee. Their average wage is $16 an hour. That is not a living wage. I mean, yes, you can get by on it, but it's not fair. When you've got a company that's making $51 billion a year, please understand, guess how much tax Amazon pays per year? You wouldn't believe me, but the answer is zero. Amazon has special tax credits from our government. They not only do they not pay taxes, they get $180 million or something like that back every year. So they're making $51 billion tax-free, and they can only pay their employees an average of $16 an hour, right? Walmart, same way. Not something that, you know, it's great. They're going to provide jobs. That's neat if you need a job. But if you want a career, I would get out. I mean, I would, you know, you got to find a way to be self-employed. You really don't have a heck of a lot of choice as far as that goes. So bottom line is, make your move. I'm going to be right, and I can't tell you when, but I'm just, folks, it is just such simple mathematics. The markets are stretched. People hate Trump. The Fed hates Trump. The Fed is going to mess with rates. They're going to mess with things. They're going to throw the economy into a tailspin before the election. Just prepare yourself. You know, I'm just telling you to be wise and balanced and, you know, diversified in a very wise way. You've got to be. You've got, the Bible on gold. I mean, the Bible is crystal clear on gold. I've absolutely talked about that time and again. And I've said it, and I'll say it again, you know, boom. Genesis chapter 1, God creates it all, right? What happens in Genesis chapter 2? He tells you about gold, tells you where to get it, and uses the highest complimentary rabbinical word to describe it. And then I talk like this, and then people come in and go, I want gold, I want gold, I want gold. Folks, study the Bible. Study the Old Testament. Riches and wealth, you know. I was speaking to someone the other night on the phone, and we were reading in Proverbs about, you know, with wisdom comes riches and wealth. And, you know, God is not about just gold. I mean, he starts it that way. That was the way it all began. And then he went to, you know, just tangible assets, gold, silver, diamonds, jewelry, precious stones, you know, you name it. Even real estate, cattle, You know, I've said the things that are biblically attributed as true wealth, gold and silver-based assets, real estate. So you got basically gold and silver, real estate. You've got human life, livestock, and precious stones. And I know most of you aren't into livestock, real estate. You know, real estate has its drawbacks. The taxes on it are getting tough. It's not liquid. It's really tough. We were in a tough spot when we sold a house a while ago and had to buy another one and kind of got pushed into a house that, you know, is a good buy. It's a nice house, but it needed a lot of work. And we're still waiting to do that. Contractors are busy. We're working with our architects trying to minimize the outgo, et cetera, and so on. And, working to get a contractor that's free. And then, like I said, the taxes, the maintenance. I've got people up there taking care of the beds and weeding, and had guys out today working on the in-wall vacuum system. And we've got audio, visual, and lighting, and chandeliers with bulbs burning out all the time. And we're out in the country, so we've got this Patera internet that says 20 megabytes per second download speed until you call them and they go, well, you can only have 15 because there's too many people on the system. And then, you know, you try to use that and sometimes it doesn't work right. And it's all that aerial, visual, wireless type internet. And then we're living on propane and we've got a well. The well is old. We got 30 acres. There was 30 acres below us with a new well. We were out of town. Our realtor that we'd used out of Coeur d'Alene was not the best choice. He knew things that he didn't disclose properly to us, and he's become, you know, he just put us in a bad spot. I had a good friend in Spokane, 20 years I dealt with, and I ended up, because things were such a rush, using another realtor, and we just got put together in certain ways. I'm pretty knowledgeable in real estate, but you can't make decisions if you're not given the proper information. So, you know, this guy's primary interest was just to close the deal. He didn't care about much after that, and went from, you know, the best of friends to incognito overnight. And, you know, overall on that note, folks, you don't ever want to be that kind of a person. You're good to everybody all the time, despite whether they're making you money or not, or whether they have something to offer you or not. You don't care. You please God, treat people good. Sorry about that. I took a drink of water and it went down the wrong pipe. There's a restaurant my wife and I go to, and I constantly engage with people, and I've met, you know, a famous, very famous country music singer, Barry Lee White, who opens for Hank Williams Jr. and Keith Urban, and super godly guy. He's, believe it or not, from Spokane. He's phenomenal. Played us his new song. Sounds like a number one hit to me. Really had a good night with him. Prayed with him. Godly man. Really cool guy. 3.5 years ago, the police in Spokane were looking for somebody with a white T-shirt. They came by his house. He heard noise, came out, asked what's going on. They started screaming at him to get on the ground. He was, you know, he's trying to clarify what's going on. Here comes a police officer, sweeps his legs, bounces his head off the concrete. And then immediately when police make those mistakes, they start yelling, don't resist, don't resist, don't resist, because they're going to charge you with everything to cover their tail. Continued to smack his head on the concrete, gave him a severe traumatic brain injury. He couldn't talk for a year. Took him 2.5 more years after that to recuperate and recover. Ended up with a settlement from the city. But we've had, you know, the Creeches, you know, Pastor Creech, who was shot on his own land by an undercover police officer. They give him 72 hours to come up with a story, which is pretty sad. And, you know, because then they have time to cook, you know, make it up. And then when he was supposed to give it, Ozzy Knezovich came out and said, oh, he went on a two-week vacation. Then when he came back, he claimed that he'd had this big scuffle, although the pastor's wife had seen the whole thing and said, not true. And the guy said, well, he had bruises, but they all healed up on vacation. And, you know, Ozzy Knezovich, it was rumored to say that he had to let him go or he would have to pay the guy's, you know, plane tickets and all this because it was a pre-planned vacation. Later on, Ozzy denied that. But we've just had a lot of stuff. And I know that there's a, you know, I know, you know, from a constitutional standpoint, constitutionalists were gathering in the Valley Mall, and Knezovich's guys were out there holding them hostage, basically. And it just, you know, we're getting to a new world order police state, and it's not a good situation. But we met that guy there. I met another guy the other night who said he'd met his wife there 50 years ago. And was reminiscing. He said they were married for 40. Well, they dated off and on for, I think, 10 years. They were married for 40 years. And the guy basically was there reminiscing. His wife was getting remarried after a short, very short divorce, which he said was absolutely not mutual, kids and all. And he was down in the pits, and we sat with him, and he had a drink, and we, you know, shared with him and connected with him, and, you know, he said he really appreciated he was ready to throw in the towel. So, you know, there's a possibility the guy was there to end his life, it sounds like, and God puts us in those situations. It's so important to engage with people, talk to them, how you doing? You know, one thing when it comes to interacting with people say to me, how come you're so good with people? It's not that I'm good with people, it's that I'm interested in them and I care about them. I ask them about them. I want to know about them. I might share experiences and stuff. But what's most important, people are, say, you know, some people I tell them that and I say, you want to talk to other people about themselves. That's what they're most comfortable with. People say, yeah, well, people are generally self-centered and all this stuff. Well, there may be there's a hint of truth there for sure. But people are most comfortable with the topic of themselves because they know themselves. A study was done, you know, years back. I read about in a book that I was reading on interacting and personal interactions. And a guy, they did a study where they had three groups. Group one went in the room. They said, all you got to do is go talk to this guy for 15 minutes or whatever it was. And the first group, all the guy did is talk about himself and brag and was obnoxious. People came out, they interviewed him, said, how well did the conversation go? The people rated it like 0 to 1 out of 10. Second group was 50-50. The guy would talk, ask questions, listen, but also interject a lot. So it was more, it was closer to 50-50, but he didn't just let him free flow. Of course, they rated the conversation like a 4 or 5. The third group, the guy went in, asked questions just about the people, let them answer the questions, did not talk about himself, just absolutely let people talk about themselves, and they rated the conversation a 9 or a 10. Said, you know, in one case, they said, one gal said, it's the best conversation I've ever had. Maybe she hadn't been to a therapist or something, I don't know. But the bottom line is people know, people are comfortable talking about themselves. Don't take that wrong. Don't take that to mean they're self-centered. You do it with empathy and care. And just a quick tip. I've got a friend's wife who, when she listens to people as they're telling a story, she's like, oh no. You don't do that. You listen actively and you agree. You nod your head. You don't condemn people's feelings. That's where a lot of times family issues get sensitive. You get an enabler. And if one person gets their feelings hurt by another, the enabler parent will try to defend the other child or whatever. Or if it's a spouse that gets hurt by a child, the enabled parent will try you know, often to protect the child, or in severely dysfunctional homes, a lot of times the mom or whatever will learn to be a martyr, where she jumps in between and those kinds of things. If you've got that stuff going on, you need counseling, or you need to really seek God and realize it's okay to let people feel, and it's okay to let them talk. You don't have to agree, but you got to listen and you got to feel them, and that's just really what it's all about. And even in how you speak to people, how you deal with them, how you react. You know, Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, excellent book. 7 out of 10 of the most successful people contribute that in the Bible to their success. And I'm talking people who are highly successful. The point of the book is true empathy and not putting people in corners or not making personal attacks or not saying, "I'm sorry, but you blankety blank." It's like, no, I understand where you're coming from, and I'm sorry I did this or that or whatever. And you leave it at that. You don't fill it in with more rubbish and junk that just negates what you say. You share love and empathy, the fruits of the Spirit, and that is probably just a little bit of good advice I can back easily with the Bible, but I don't really have time to do it right now. And so there we are. Real quick, since I always do it at the end of the show, we thrive on reviews, okay? So if you want a Morgan Silver Dollar, in fact, I got another deal for you here. If you want a nice-looking Morgan Silver Dollar, give us a nice 5-star review on Google, or Bing, or both. Well, I'll get to that. We do a nice 5-star review on Google, business-related, you know, please. And then call us. We'll verify it, and we'll get a silver dollar to you, even if we have to mail it. But you got to call to verify it or come in. If you leave 3 reviews, you know, Google, Bing, Yelp, whatever, positive, you know, 5-star reviews for us, we'll do 2 silver coins or 2 silver dollars. That's just a listener special. It might sound kind of expensive, but the truth of the matter is, you know, when you advertise, the amount, the cost per new customer is pretty heavy too. And the fact that we've done over 300 million individual transactions, and people usually only leave responses when they're highly emotional, typically angry. But we thrive on them. We depend on them. So if you'd be so kind to do that, if you want 2 nice silver dollars or 2 nice 1-ounce silver rounds, leave reviews on 3 of the major search sites, and you will get it once you verify it with us, okay? So that's something to keep in mind. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about, there's a couple things I got on my mind. There's a few things, to be quite frank. Let's see here. We'll go with, number one, I discussed, you know, the bankrate.com and the recession. The second thing you've got to realize, and by the way, on the topic I was discussing before, anger. Anger is an emotion that God gave us for fight or flight. It is not an emotion that you use in confrontation or communication. If you have a problem with anger, you actually have a problem with feelings, because your feelings, people train themselves to convert feelings into anger. They get their feelings hurt. They become angry. They get offended. They become angry. When it gets even worse and more dysfunctional, so we're all going to make that mistake. The Bible's very clear that you immediately go to your brother, whatever it is, your mother, your father, whoever, and you apologize and make it right. It's not conditional, okay? And you'll get, like, abusive husbands that, you know, that's never going to happen. Then they control their wives, and, you know, eventually their kids can grow up with all kinds of issues because they don't know how to communicate or function properly. So making things right, repent, to the level of offense. If you repent to somebody and then they want to talk about it, you don't say, hey, look, shut up. I already said sorry. It's over. I mean, if they keep dwelling to way big of an extent, then you say, hey, look, you know, I'm really trying to apologize here. I'm really not, you know, looking for more confrontation. So anger is something that if you deal with it, you got to get rid of it. It's really not appropriate. We all get wound up and impatient and uptight. And, you know, even if you believe in God and trust in God, He's constantly testing and disciplining you. He'll fill your days with all kinds of challenges, you know, everything from just a full schedule to broken water heaters and bad vacuum cleaners and, you know, whatever it may be, broken windows, I don't know. But He'll always be testing you to see your spirit. And if you're married, love your spouse. You hear that? Love your spouse. If you don't like who they become or what they've done to themselves physically or whatever, you know, you got to trust God. You got to, you know, maybe you can work out with them or whatever, but in general, you got to trust God to take care of it. Now, another thing that's really on my mind in a big, bad way is the absolute influence of social media and especially Google on our society's belief system. We've seen a rise in the last decade of what is the millennial generation, going from thinking of socialism as the ideal form of government. 10 years ago, they were in the 27-28% range. I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, they were 47%. They are now at a 77% level. Can you imagine watching Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren going, I want them for my president? When people are poor, they want to tax the tar out of what they call the rich. To them, anyone who's rich is someone who's, you know, better off than they are by a number of strides. We live in America. It's the American dream. We want more than anything to find success in what they call the new land, and we are one of the newest countries on the planet Earth. And we've got to, you know, just absolutely, you know, take advantage of being an American and loving this nation with all of our heart, soul, and strength. And the problem is, we have freedom of speech. Our founding fathers never foresaw this Google thing. Google is siding with the Democrats in 2020 hardcore, okay? There's all these key indicators, surveys, studies that are coming out that, like a guy named Dave Rubin, who was targeted by Google, you know, he actually considers himself a liberal, but the problem is he is basically against social media discrimination or bias. I talk about bias on a number of shows. And you go back to even Hitler, Germany. How did they get all those young guys to kill the Jews? I mean, there's a book called The Storyteller where, you know, they go into, it's a true story of a gal who lives in South America. She was from Nazi prison camps. She has a guy, she works in a bakery or owns it. The guy comes in every day, they become good friends. He's got a German accent. But she starts to realize she really has always recognized the guy. Well, she finds out that he was one of the executors of the camp that executed her parents and everybody else. She's got to battle with the confusion, the frustration, the hostility, the forgiveness. And she finds out, well, first of all, it's common knowledge if you do your research that it was our U.S. government that helped all these Nazi leaders escape under FDR. Which is why the theory of Hitler being gone or dead is unlikely. Even Ken Lay from Enron, who supposedly drowned in his pool the night before, they cremated him within 24 hours. most likely, you know, he was worth $100 billion or whatever to the average person. I don't know, but I consider that a pretty good paycheck. And most likely, he was on a plane getting plastic surgery done, heading to South America. A lot of them go to Brazil or whatever. They basically store up a ton of gold. And then they'll hire a private jet, you know, if they've got that kind of money. And then they'll fly the gold with them, and then they've got infinite resources as time goes on. You can, you know, gold is very, very compact, tremendously compact, beyond anything you'd even imagine compact. I know, I deal in it, and it is quite phenomenal. You can get so much gold in a little box compared to $100 bills. 7 million bucks you can get into a box that's maybe 12 by 12 by 3 inches in tubes with a lot of wasted space. The same amount of cash would take up, you know, beyond your wildest dreams. And so gold's compact. You do need to prepare. You really do. So social media, they say, they're with the Dems for 2020. They can shift up. They shift up to 15 million votes. That's Google alone. 15 million votes in a country of 30 million people. We're lucky if half, or 300 million. We're lucky if half of the people vote. Okay, so now you're down to 150 million. 15 million votes is a 10% swing. The fact that Trump won over, despite all this, is an absolute miracle and shows that God wanted him there, in my opinion. But be aware of this, that this is really going on. They're a highly biased political machine. Facebook's the same way. They're literally bent on eliminating Trump. They manipulate search results to fit their own belief systems. People that are contrary to their belief systems get their websites pushed down or off of Google and Facebook, okay? Their posts will be deleted, and it's really tough to get that fixed, especially with Google. You do nothing. They do what they want, when they want, how they want. They control communication. We have freedom of speech. They have squelched that. They've filtered and censored it, and they have no problem with it. And they're liberals, and they believe in what they do, and you can't change their mind. So you've got to be aware of it, and you've got to report it, and you've got to tell everybody you know to report it and just deal with it, because you will be affected. Everyone is. Inside Google, or whistleblowers from inside Google, are currently admitting, and they come on in the black shadow background with the voice change thing. They're admitting that Google eliminates and downgrades info that contradicts their beliefs. They used a guy named Dave Rubin as an example, to who was targeted by Google. He's he said the CEO of Google follows his podcast. If she or he doesn't like it, they eliminate them. They wipe them out. They don't want free thinking and free speech. Their idea of freedom of speech, I heard a guy who was a congressman, liberal, say, freedom of speech gives you the right to say whatever you want, but it gives them the right to do everything they can to stop you from saying it. No. That is not what it's about. It's not about stopping you. They should be fighting for free speech. So liberals of today are not liberals of yesterday. Liberals are supposed to be very freedom-oriented. That's their platform. And they want, you know, that's what they want. The problem is they want socialism. The Democrats are all about socialism. That's their ultimate goal. You've got all these huge companies that are backing them, putting them out free ads and just getting them the exposure that they want and that they need. We really need our politicians and citizens you know, to force these companies to be more transparent, less biased, more honest, and rate content based on people's searches, desires, needs, and wants, rather than their own political bias, which, folks, the impact's terrifying. It also shows what demand there was for Trump during the last election, because he overcame all of this. It's kind of like, if you think about it, they'll deny these people access, but, you know, a power company, or we wouldn't allow a power company to deny power based on who you voted for. And that's essentially what Google is doing. And we have got to be aware of it, okay? Now, we've got, let me check a couple other things I might have here. How has social media changed politics? You know, Twitter and Facebook have literally altered campaigns. The use of social media in politics, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, they have dramatically changed the way campaigns are run, how Americans interact with their elected officials, and so on. The prevalence of social media in politics has made elected officials and candidates for public office more accountable and accessible to voters. And the ability to publish content and broadcast it to millions of people instantaneously obviously allows campaigns to carefully manage their candidates' images and based on rich sets of analytics in real time at really low costs, okay? So there's a bunch of different ways that I see that Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube have changed American politics, affected them, persuaded them, manipulated them, whatever you want to call it. They have direct contact with voters. You know, so social media tools like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, they allow politicians to go directly to the voters without spending a dime. Trump did it beautifully through Twitter. Everybody hates his tweets. Well, folks, a lot of them aren't that bad if you just quit getting brainwashed by the media. He's got to respond to stuff. It's the way he is. Using the social media allows politicians to circumvent all the traditional methods of reaching voters through paid advertising or earning media coverage, which, you know, CNN fake news, the Trump hate media, they won't allow it. They'll twist it. A guy can give an hour and a half speech and they'll pick out 15 seconds out of context and make him look like a whack job. The fact that it's free is, you know, it's fair. It's good, right? It's just that these companies need to stay out of the way and let this stuff go on. Now they're saying that there's collusion and the Russians. And, you know, this is all ways now, folks, for them to control what comes through of what they want to call fake news. And, you know, and there is fake news. It's pretty easy to spot. And news in general, journalists should be unbiased. When you see bias in reporting, you are essentially seeing the epitome of the aberration of journalism. Journalism is dead as a whole, folks. Real journalists were not like that. They'd report, you'd decide. Then, you know, and then the thing is they can make campaigns go viral. Twitter and Facebook, you know, have these organizational apps and to organize campaigns, and they allow like-minded voters and activists to, you know, share news and information, campaign events, and, you know, that's what the share function on Facebook and retweet feature of Twitter are for. Donald Trump, as we discussed, used Twitter so heavily in his campaign, and it worked, and he said, I like it because I can get also my point of view out there, and my point of view is very important to a lot of people that are looking at me. But without that, he never would have made it because the media hated his guts. You know, fundraising. It's allowed him to get huge amounts of money fast, and, you know, for better or worse. Some campaigns have used so-called money bombs to raise large amounts of cash in a short period of time. A money bomb is typically a 24-hour period in which candidates press their supporters to donate money. They use social media, to get the word out and tie these money bonds to specific controversies. They've always got a controversy. Always like, oh my gosh, you got to give money now. This horrible thing's going to happen if you don't. One of my favorite guys, Ron Paul, you know, the popular libertarian who they would every time, you know, he started getting steam and Bill O'Reilly would just destroy him. I met his son, Rand Paul. He's a class act. I'd love him to be president because he's a constitutionalist and, you know, their primary, he's got a lot of libertarian tendencies. 100% libertarians are against war and violence and, you know, we have to fight for, you know, injustice and incivility against the innocent and so on. So I'm not totally libertarian, but a lot of it I like. I love freedom. I think people should have the freedom to do what they want in a lot of ways. That is being taken away daily. But anyway, Ron Paul, who ran for president in 08, orchestrated some of the most successful money bomb fundraisers. You know, controversy, there's direct access to voters, has its downside. Handlers and public relations professionals manage candidates' image, and for good reason, because the politicians will often send out unfiltered tweets. Sound familiar? Our president or Facebook posts have landed many a candidate in hot water or bad situations. Remember Anthony Weiner? Yeah, he was a special one, right? You know, it gives them feedback immediately. They get to find out what people think. It can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing, depending on how politicians respond. Many campaigns hire staffers to monitor social media channels for negative response, and they scrub anything that's unflattering. But this bunker-like mentality makes campaigns appear defensive and closed from the public. You know, it just gives them access to the public. It's the new hot thing, and it's the power of numbers, right? And so we've got to understand that that, you know, is out there. But the news around the clock, the 24/7 media thing, social media has transformed politics into this 24/7 phenomena, and it's taken it a step further. You can access news on any website at any hour. Most people spend more time on sites such as Facebook and Twitter than they do on serious news or political websites. So they just get a bunch of blogs and opinions and, I mean, just the level of inaccuracy is insane. And Facebook persuades that or skews it or whatever you want to call it, and they really throw some garbage out there. You get all this trending information. Polls. They're using polls all the time. It's called consensus thinking. Polls have huge effects on elections because they tell you what everybody else thinks. So they lie on polls. I'm, you know, a statistician by nature. Polling, real true polling is you know, to find out what's going on. But they'll tell you, you know, they said that all the way up to the Hillary and Trump campaign that Hillary was ahead by 6 to 7 points. Well, that was outside of the standard deviation. So the polling agencies were lying or contacting the wrong people or whatever, you know. So you got to be really careful about that. You maintain your opinion based on the fundamentals. Don't fall for peer pressure. I mentioned earlier the peer pressure of Nazi Germany. How did they get all these kids to kill the Jews? You know, it's peer pressure. And I mean, in that case, it was extreme. They'd say, shoot those Jews or we'll shoot you. This went all the way up. They had everybody spying on each other. You know, the term see something, say something? Guess what? That came from Nazi Germany. See something, say something. Tattle on your neighbor. Narc them off. Everybody was being spied on all the time. Now, with social media, how do you think that works? If you're out there posting stuff all the time, you're being spied on. You're being watched. The NSA just got, you know, penalized or whatever that means for gathering too much data on everybody and basically scanning every single phone call that existed. Well, that's what they do. I mean, they lie and say, oops, sorry, we'll get rid of it. We overdid it. But folks, they watch everything you do. And then politicians like Obama got Trump spied on by lying on these FISA warrants. Mueller did his long malarkey, you know, special investigation. for Trump collusion, which was an absolute lie, just to trash his name and make the left think he's terrible. And they hate him. I mean, I've never seen such hatred in my life. You know, they target demographics. They put out rumors, fake news, conspiracies. All this stuff is what you're getting from political campaigns that are, you know, they get influenced by them. They create them. It spreads around social media, and it gets impossible to separate the real news from fake news online. Now, Facebook says they're going to start doing that. Well, they're so biased, they can't do that. They just don't like it. If it says something good about Trump, it's gone. So the constant stream of memes, links, rumors, and about political leaders and candidates is filled with lies, satire, speculation, and occasional truth. There's tons of fake, you know, whatever, satire news sites that post stories that sound authentic. The Onion is the best known of these. There are now many others. Fake news sites, you know, are everywhere, basically. They're not amusing, but simply exist to post clickbait stories and to troll readers who don't own their own research. In other words, you know, they say, read this, and you click, 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 and they get a bunch of stuff. So confirmation bias, and I'm out of time. This is too bad because this is so important. It's one of the hidden forces that operates on social media is confirmation bias. It's especially powerful when it comes to controversial topics. If you're like most people, the majority of your friends and followers on social media share your outlook. It means that the vast majority of tweets, Facebook posts, pins, or other content you read on these sites tend to express the same point of view. And it's called confirmation bias, and I would love to cover that, and I ran out of time again. So thank you once again for being loyal, for following us. Give us positive reviews online. Get your free silver dollar. Last thing, quick. We've got about 361 Morgan silver dollars. We're running a special wholesale. First person to call, $17.50 a piece for nice quality Morgans, 361 of them, a little over 6,000. Take care. Bye-bye.